Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Mr. Speaker, here's the latest reality game. Let's play Wall Street bailout. Rule one, rush the decision. Time the game to fall in the week before Congress is set to adjourn and just 6 weeks before an historic election so your opponents will be preoccupied, pressured, distracted, and in a hurry. Rule two, disarm the public through fear. Warn that the entire global financial system will collapse and the world will fall into another Great Depression. Control the media enough to ensure that the public will not notice that this bailout will indebt them for generations, taking them from trillions of dollars, taking from them trillions of dollars they earned and deserve to keep. Rule three, control the playing field and set the rules. Hide from the public and most of the Congress just who is arranging this deal. Communicate with the public through leaks to media insiders. Limit any open congressional hearings. Communicate with Congress.
So mostly what they do is hold summits. I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that. So we, yesterday we saw some reluctance for the Bernanke Fed to expand their balance sheets and pump more money in. But the stock market knows that reluctance is totally different than not willing to do it at all. And that's why we saw oil implode and gold trade off heavily, because they're not a protected class. If the stock market starts trading off in the 10 to 15 to 20% area, the chairman's going to come in and throw some stimulus at it. So to answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks, because, and we'd love to be slaves of the economy, but the economic numbers continue to do nothing but trend lower.
Mr. LeCamp, do we...
Economists estimate a 1% decline in growth in developing countries pushes an additional 20 million people into poverty. And growth is expected to slow in developing countries at a greater rate than previously anticipated, from 6.4% to 4.5% because of financial turmoil worldwide. Already, the World Bank estimates high food and fuel prices have driven 100 million people into poverty.
The crisis is having a destructive effect on third world economies. The International Monetary Fund is warning that the economic downturn could create a widespread humanitarian crisis in the world's most vulnerable countries. The IMF has called on richer nations to raise $25 billion in the next 12 months. But if conditions get worse, the figure needed could rise to $140 billion. As the more developed nations tighten their purse strings, foreign investment is expected to fall by 20%. Money sent home by migrants...
We're pushing up towards, the highs again, really on what I would see as, not very good volume. And the fact of the matter is that we're seeing some serious volatility in the market, which I think bodes not particularly well as we move forward.
All right, so you mentioned two things here. You're watching volume, you're watching volatility. What other signals do you have your eyes on, Dan, that will tell you what we could be in for next?
If you look at the Dow for a longer-term chart pattern, if you look back over the last year and a half, there has been a chart out there circulating the last couple of months that kind of it looks very similar to the 1929 chart that they saw. So, I mean, that's, I think, playing into some traders' minds as well, as you see.
The time period is exactly the same time period.
That is incredible, really, when you look at it. It's chilling.
It really is, because we're just about to go up.
As they did, and then it went down. Straight down.
So April 2nd, 14, is really the bottom of the crash.
And if this chart were to hold up, it would drop from over 16,000 where it is now, down to somewhere in the 12s, it looks like. That would be significant.
Yeah.
Discussing America's security challenges and a solution for peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Connor Powell live in Jerusalem with the latest. Hi, Connor.
Hi, Arthel. Well, Secretary of State John Kerry spent the last 9 months shuttling between Washington and Jerusalem trying to craft an agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians. And despite the lack of sort of tangible progress so far in crafting that deal, Kerry said today he is optimistic a deal can be reached, at least a framework agreement can be reached by the end of April. Both Israeli and Palestinian publics have overwhelmingly supported a peace agreement according to polls taken in recent weeks and months. What happens in the next couple of weeks will really dictate what happens for the long-term peace agreement going forward, Arthel.
Some serious tug of war to come. 2-year health tonight. The next time you visit Roper St. Francis, instead of sticking out your tongue and saying, ah, you might hold up your hand as a wave of infrared light tells the Roper staff member who you are. It's called palm scanning technology. And Roper St. Francis says it not only gets you to your appointment on time, it protects your identity along the way.
And then right back down.
It may look like something out of science fiction.
Just basically a small scanner that allows us to take a picture of the vein pattern in your hand. Our palm scanners are the new patient identification system that we're using throughout all of Roper St. Francis Healthcare System to make sure we accurately identify the patient each and every time they come in and present for a visit.
And Roper St. Francis says palm scanning is one way to access your unique electronic health record to review your history and document your care each visit.
When it comes to financial transactions, signatures can of course be forged, and PIN codes and passwords can be cracked. But I'm about to authorize a credit card payment using one of the most secure methods around.
It's a system called Pulse Wallet. It has an infrared camera in there which scans the vein pattern in my hand. That pattern is as unique as a fingerprint, and far more difficult to copy.
The technology, developed by Fujitsu, is already in use in cash machines in Japan and Brazil, and it could soon find its way into shops in the not-too-distant future.
One of the world's giant retailers, the British supermarket chain Tesco, is to kick off facial recognition technology to improve its advertising strategy. But privacy campaigners are already sounding the alarm, as RT's Laura Smith explains.
So say it's Thursday morning, I walk into a shop. In it, all the usual stuff, plus a special camera that scans my face. It recognizes that I'm female and aged between 30 and 45.
If you think that's something out of a futuristic movie, think again. It's what's happening now.
Today, the government takes on the issue of facial recognition technology and your privacy. Tech companies are among the groups coming to Washington to help create the first voluntary guidelines. 60 Minutes correspondent Leslie Stahl began looking into the impact last year.
Facial recognition is already in some of our home appliances, like TVs.
Hi, TV.
In our mobile devices, pins and passwords are giving way to face prints. And the technology can single us out in real time as we go about our daily business, often without us ever knowing.
What's unique about face recognition is the fact that you can do it surreptitiously from a distance and continually.
It can happen. We don't even know.
That's the point.
The future is that everyone will have a camera on them, and this technology already exists for facial recognition technology. What's the scariest thing about this technology?
Basically, there are databases being created right now of your face matching that to your profile. Part of what the government is going to look into is to try to create some rules and some regulations to say that if you do create a database like this, that you have to actually explicitly be a part of it instead of being included by default. Right now, the government wants to at least put some sort of voluntary rules in place to really make recommendations of what you should do with this data, and hopefully there'll be something a little bit more mandatory coming.
I'm trying to figure out what is the benefit to it. What is the information used for? I still don't get it.
Duh. All right, everybody. It's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'm your host, Ron Golden, and we have on the line with us the always lovely Miss Linda Sills from California. Linda is one of our Patriot family members that does her show on Wednesday nights right from the left coast. And I want to start out by apologizing for the long protracted intro. And Cal pointed out that the audio sound level on several of those clips was through the roof compared to some of the others. It's not really a clip that I put together as much as I was kind of stitching it by playing an audio clip that I have in my studio and then ending that clip by starting to play another clip. And I apologize. I did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wanted to give myself a little bit of time to collect my thoughts and allow my anger to bring my blood down to a slow rolling boil from where it has been most of the day. So that was more for my own sanity than anything else. But I do apologize that I know the audio quality is very sporadic throughout many of these clips. How are you, Miss Linda?
Fine. Pretty good. We're looking at rain clouds here now, finally. I didn't even have to do a rain dance, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. Now you know why I do scripture in the first part of my show, because it does calm me down, because it helps get Satan away. It really does. That's why I do that. That's one of the reasons I do it, and I need the edification and the love of my Lord to calm me down. So... I can imagine you've got a plethora of things that made you angry. I have been dealing with this for the last almost full week since that meeting that I went to last Tuesday, and the subsequent craziness and the idiots posting nonsense in the newspapers. These people are completely clueless about Agenda 21 and the roundabouts happening in every damn city, and they're all popping up everywhere, and nobody will listen. So, I mean, it is extremely frustrating. I want to bat my head against a stone wall. On the good news side, I took my mother shopping today in Albertsons. It was hysterical because I wasn't sure what they were doing, but I was noticing above the meat department there was just like all these giant signs, blown up Monopoly money. And then they had the little bankster guy, the one that looked like J.P. Morgan up there,
yeah,
too.
That is J.P. Morgan,
And so then I'm going, I said, oh, my God, look at the Monopoly money. Well, anyway, so we went to the checkout, and the gal says, are you playing the Monopoly game? And I said, no, and then it clicked, that's what they're doing. And I said, I do that enough in real life, and I'm not talking about the board game. I'm talking about the fiat currency in our wallets. And she says, oh, yeah, I know. So people are waking up. I mean,
you should have looked at her and said, aren't we all?
Yeah, that was what I meant. I said, I do that enough in real life. But no, I've been exasperated because I know that these people in my communities are so clueless. They are jumping on board with the sustainable development, not even knowing where it's leading. I am trying my damnedest to explain it to them. I'm quoting their own sandbag garbage of the end game of taking you out of your car. I don't even think they'll get it then. There's some people you'll never reach, Ron. You just won't.
And the thing to me that is disturbing, the thing that I guess really gets me just revved up beyond all belief, is that you can see where this is headed. It's as plain as the nose on your face. I can see the direction that things are being steered in.
Sure.
And the vast majority of people are like little lemmings. They don't have the first clue.
No, they don't.
Just plodding along. And I don't blame them as far as, you know, I'm not angry at individuals
for not
having their head out of their posteriors.
Right.
But at the same time, it's maddening. It's infuriating.
Well,
and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk.
We have a complicit media who is not doing their job, as you know, and how many decades has that been going on? They're part of the propaganda problem, which, as you know, I mean, even Fox News is about as useless as different things on a board. And then Kerry, good old Kerry, is out there in Jakarta screaming about, and he's parroting his boss, Barry, about the climate change and the threat and the flat earthers and, you know, that we're denying and the science is settled. My head just about came off today. I was so livid, but I put my two cents in wherever it was. I think it was either on the blog or on Facebook or something.
And, you know, here's the thing that really has me extremely just worked up right now, okay? And that is that the direction that I see that we're heading in fast, I mean, just pedal to the metal. And that direction is war.
Oh, my God.
And when I think about all of the pawns, if you will, and I'm going to call them what I see them as, innocent young men and women.
Yep.
You know, when we were in D.C., the most emotional part of my entire week that I spent in Washington, D.C., was our trip to the Vietnam War Memorial and our trip to Arlington National Cemetery. And for me, being a Christian and being soft at heart sometimes, looking out across all those tombstones at Arlington, and knowing what they represent, and from my perspective, perhaps it doesn't represent what a lot of people may feel that it represents to them. You know, a lot of folks look out and they see heroes that died fighting for our freedom. And that's just, it's impossible for me to see it that way.
I know.
I look out and I see the wasted youth and lives of millions of human beings, all for an idea that was a lie, that has been sold to them as a lie.
Sure.
And the agenda, the beat goes on. And, I sit here and I think about what's going on right now. And we've seen, Syria is back in the news again, of course.
Sure.
There is a meeting that's supposed to be taking place. Obama's supposed to go to Saudi Arabia to bow down and kiss the ring again.
Yeah.
Because, clearly he's ticked off the Saudis. Egypt has inked a deal. I don't know if anyone paid attention to that, but Egypt signed a deal with Russia for military equipment and arms, small arms, in part because, here's the rub, because we're cutting off aid to Egypt. So now they're going to run to the Soviets, which, if you believe the lie, so many decades, when we were involved in the Middle East after World War II, the Red Line Agreement, the whole purpose, allegedly, we are told, the entire purpose
for our government interference and intervention into the Middle East, whether it was Egypt, whether it was the creation of the nation state of Israel, whether it was our involvement in Iran, Afghanistan, Libya, Lebanon, Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, the Sudan, on and on. The whole purpose was, right, we were afraid of communism. We were trying to keep the world safe from communism. So it was this, it was this yin and yang competition between Western democracy and the evil scourge of communism. And it, it's an utter farce. It it's contrived.
I know. I mean, every when you go back and you look at the history of it, and you go through, I mean, it's been a long time since you've read it, but the one by Griffin and talking about how the manipulators and the big guys have done this throughout history, especially World War II, because good old Churchill was involved in that too, and the banksters. This is those people that you looked in, across their graves. Yeah, it is enough to make you cry once you know the truth. Because it's not about, you know, rah, rah, hooray, the flag, and, you know, all that stuff.
That's just
it. Yeah, that's what people don't know.
And the thing is that, you know, it's so easy. It is so easy to get a group of Americans or a group of Pakistanis or a group of Englishmen or a group of Frenchmen to rise to the defense of their country to murder other people. And at that point, the people that they're murdering, the people that they're killing, they don't see them as human beings. They don't see them as people.
Right.
They're the enemy. They're subhuman. It's different than how, you know, the Nazis and Hitler saw blacks or, you know, Jews
or gays or Jews or
anybody that weren't,
who.
You know, Aryans.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I know,
and I look at what's going on today, and you see Japan announced today that it was okay for the U.S. to move nuclear weapons into Japan.
Jeez,
that we have their permission, but there's been this little proxy war going on between Japan and China. You know, if everybody would pay attention over these islands and stuff, right? And so, I mean, you know, China's got to be careful because Japan's no slouch. They've got a hell of a Navy.
True. I'm going to run, and I'll let you go, and I'll catch this in archives. I'm just about ready to walk in.
Absolutely.
Class, but you guys have a good one. Give them hell.
Thanks for calling in, hon.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. So it's just, to me, been very depressing, ladies and gentlemen, that you know, I see from where I sit looking out into the world and what's transpiring, it just looks to me like we are on the brink of war. Looks like we're in danger of another war breaking out. And the question has to be, for what? Why? And of course, there will be some horrible, tragic event. There always is. Some catalyst event that sparks the war, whether it's contrived or not. I would say most all of them are contrived because one side or the other feels pushed into a corner, pushed to the brink that they're left with no other choice but to respond with violence, with force. We've discussed it before. Government is force. We've got a lot of financial turmoil in the world. And there's a couple of ways that you can look at that. You can believe that there's some grand experiment conspiracy that has all of the major governments of the world participating complicit in the destruction of the system to create a new system that'll be even more totalitarian than the system that already exists. But truly, I don't believe that is the case. I think what we're seeing is a large conglomerate of central bankers who literally own a vast majority of banking interest worldwide. And then you have some of those independent banks like China, like Russia, that are trying to operate in their own self-interest, and it's created this adversarial banking fiasco that we're currently watching unfold, and oftentimes has been our strategy as a nation to use proxies to fight our battles so that it's not blatantly open and out front. And in this case, I think we're relying heavily on Japan as our proxy in the fight against China. We know that, you know, from listening to this program and others in the past, that China, Brazil, India, South Africa, and some other nations have gotten together, and the BRICS nations, and they've started their own little coup d'etat, if you will, of the monetary system in an attempt to dethrone the dollar as the world reserve currency. And I think that the central bankers have done a pretty good job of dethroning the U.S. dollar all on their own without any complicit assistance from China or Russia or Brazil or any of the others. But if you think for a moment that the folks that own the Federal Reserve and the folks that run the central banking systems in London are going to just simply roll over and play dead and say, oh, well, gosh, you got us. You beat us at our own game. You know, man, it was nice playing with you guys. You know, maybe we can get a rematch. Yeah, that's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. That's just not going to happen. And I believe that we're using Japan as a proxy against China right now. And India is that's a bad deal in this whole BRICS nation. And India just about has to feel at this point that they're making a deal with the devil in, siding with China and the BRICS nations. But I think they've been put in a position of not being able to trust the United States, and who can blame them? I just don't see any of this ending well. I don't think that the economy in this country or globally can withstand a whole lot more turmoil, but that's certainly what's right down the street is more turmoil. Mikey, welcome aboard, sir, and we've got a guest. I don't know if that's Rod Luke or Mr. Bill or someone else trying to sign in, but hopefully they can get in as well. But I just don't see this being a happy ending, if you will. Now, we know that a lot of talk has been made of QE, right? QE1, QE2, QE3. All of this stimulus, Federal Reserve stimulus. And isn't it interesting that in January, last month, the Bank of Japan injected $74 billion into their economy to keep their banking system afloat. The Federal Reserve, consequently, here in the United States, injected $75 billion of newly created funny money, liquidity, into our banking system. So if you combine the Federal Reserve Bank and the Bank of Japan, collectively in January, those two entities created $149 billion in new money injected into the economies of the U.S. and Japan. Would anyone like to venture a guess how much QE or stimulus was created in China in the month of January? Anybody take a stab at it? Anybody want to call in and take a stab at it? I'm going to tell you the number, and it probably won't shock you, but it should. $425 billion for the month of January. That's the amount of stimulus, bailouts, whatever you want to call it. New money creation by the People's Bank of China, and largely to bail out banks. Does that sound familiar? That goes back to part of one of the clips I played earlier, the bailouts. We remember those. As the lady was speaking and said, we were told that it was just too complicated for the Congress members to understand and that we'd just have to trust them. The too big to fails. Well, evidently, China is not exempt from that very same thing. The difference is that China has been using their surpluses, their trade surpluses, their dollars, to purchase real assets, to purchase gold bullion, to position themselves to be able to take advantage of a market collapse or a dollar collapse. And I would say in an effort to help expedite a dollar collapse. Bill, glad you could make it in, sir. Always glad to have you. So I really honestly see things degrading from here. And unless something really, truly astounding happens to turn around the economic outlook in the United States, China, Japan, Europe, and the Middle East, guys, it's going to get really ugly. It's going to get really, really ugly. Has anyone paid attention to what's going on in Argentina or Venezuela or Turkey or the Ukraine or any number of other places around the globe? You know, that one audio clip that I was playing there where the lady was talking about the IMF and World Bank estimate that for every 1 percentage point of deflation or contraction in emerging foreign markets, for every 1% their economy shrinks, 20 million people are put into poverty. And we're not talking about United States of America food stamps and free medical care and you know, we'll make your car payment for you and your house payment for you kind of poverty. We're talking about real poverty. We're talking about kill your neighbor for a can of soup poverty. Okay? And we know from history that when people are hungry, they're dangerous. We know that we look at what happened in Egypt and the big protest. You know, that was spawned. You can believe whatever you want, but I'm here to tell you that that was largely spawned because people are discontented with their government and they're starving. And when they're discontented with their government and they're starving, they're going to turn their anger towards their government, towards those who they see as being responsible for it. And it's happening all over the world. And here we have this story that broke last week about the intercepted phone call of one of our ambassadors and one of the folks from the Obama administration who did not use a secure line, but that wasn't made public right away. But there was a conversation over how we were siding with the protesters in the Ukraine and pushing the government. We are trying to dictate to the Ukrainian government how they run their government. And the people over there are furious. And our administration official said, F the EU and F Ukraine. Well, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but is there not enough information out there already that has placed the United States of America and our government into a less than desirable light? People are pissed. And I talked about this months ago. I talked about this over a year ago. As the situation snowballs, as we see economic conditions worsen around the world, we, you and I, and our government are going to be the ones that are going to be the subject, the object of many people's anger. I'm here to tell you, this is leading us into war, like it or not. I, for one, don't like it. And especially when I look at the number of foreign nationals that are present in the United States today, both legal and illegal. When we look at the level of government representation and the level of government sympathy and the level of respect for individuals by our government, it ought to scare the hell out of people. You ought to recognize that there's a reason that your government has been purchasing vast quantities of ammunition and various sundry other weapons of war at every level in this country. Your police departments, your Internal Revenue Service, your Social Security offices. Ladies and gentlemen, as Patrick Henry said in his famous speech, what enemy is there in this quarter of the globe to justify such a vast array of arms? It is meant for us. And you can rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, that when I say it's meant for us, it is not meant for our protection. Those that will be protected are those that are in government. Those that will be protected, the only thing they want to protect, let me back up. The only thing they want to protect is the system. They want to protect the system as it is. As it is, ladies and gentlemen. They want to protect the power and control that they have. And they want to extend the power and control that they have. And very soon, it's being sold to you right now. I played the clip where they were talking about the palm scanners. Very, very soon, I believe, we will find ourselves being told, and we won't have to be told very vigorously, because it's going to be blatantly obvious that cash is no longer safe. It's not safe for anyone to have cash because people will kill you for it. And look at all of the money that goes on in the black market out of government control. If we go to a cashless system, then you have zero control of your money. Any corporate or government entity that claims that you have a balance owing can simply debit your account Now, granted, there will be due process of law to be adhered to as they access the money in your accounts, just like the folks in Cyprus, just like the folks in Japan right now. And you can even invest in MIRAs, my IRA, which will be an investment in government bonds. And again, we're seeing the pickup, at least I'm hearing the pickup. They're giving you the pitch line right now if you're listening to the radio on a daily basis. You're getting that pitch line again about how President Obama is making tax-free income on the side, above and beyond his $400,000 salary. And I don't know if any of you have heard those commercials or if you know what they're pitching in those commercials. I know. I can tell you exactly what they're talking about. What they're talking about in those commercials is municipal bonds. If you purchase municipal bonds, the proceeds of the bonds, any earnings that you make on those municipal bonds are tax-free. It's as if, well, it's not as if, they are telling you, the government doesn't get enough of your money. We're going to sell you some bonds, too, so that you can buy in an even bigger stake in a failure that is your government, whether it's state, local, or federal. We're coming to a point where government will consume all wealth, except, of course, the banks, because the bank and the banking system holds the property rights to all the wealth. It's really just crazy when you stop and think about it. I'd like to invite any of you guys to call in. I put the number up there in the chat room, area code 646-378-0321. Again, that's 646-378-0321. And, you know, feel free to call in and express your concerns, anger, outrage, praise, whatever you got. You know, I just, today I was just really ticked off, angry. The whole day, just in a foul mood. One of those days where you just feel like you want to go kick the dog, you know? We had another debt ceiling vote, and our Congress proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that we do not possess a representative government any longer. That is dead and gone. There is no representation. I mean, honestly, I want to ask, when is the last time your Congress did something that you feel like really represented your interests? Seriously. Because I certainly have not seen anything come out of this Congress or the previous several Congresses that I said, you know, man, that is so awesome. See, that's why I'm proud to be an American, because they're looking out for us. They're looking out for me. That's in my best interest. That is going to make my life easier, or that is going to free up time. That is diminishing the bureaucracy and making my life easier. When's the last time something like that occurred from your representative government? I know there are folks out there that drink the green Kool-Aid and they believe that all these things that government is doing, and that, you know what? I mean, quite honestly, let's be true and realistic about this. If you're in your mid to late 40s, early 50s, and you've found yourself unemployed and you're underwater in your house, then, yeah, you know, the government has done some things that you probably feel are beneficial to you, because now you have a way where you can get health care, your unemployment benefits have been extended, and you've got the SNAP program, and you've got the mortgage program. What, I mean, you know, the HARP program, what more could you want? My God, you've been freed from having to have a job. You're no longer job locked. You know, you can go pursue your interest in art. Maybe you can throw pumpkin scrapings at a piece of bedsheet on the wall and call it art, impressionist art. Who knows? Maybe you'll get discovered at some grand gallery in Washington, D.C. or something, you know, where all the jobs are being created. I don't know. So it's not that, you know, the government hasn't done things that benefit some people, even a lot of people. But that's not the test, is it? That's not really the test. I think the test is the general welfare of all the states equally, of all the people equally. Because from where I sit, it seems that government is just shifting more burden upon the backs of those of us that still have jobs. It's not as if the government is taking on responsibility through many of these programs. They're just shifting responsibility. And they're shifting it onto the backs of those people that still have the ability to go to work every day. And I don't mean just a physical ability. I mean the folks that still have a job. You know, we've got this horrendous mess of a tax system. We've got the Internal Revenue Service, right? And people are exploiting a weak spot in the Internal Revenue Program. And that loophole has gotten even larger with the advent of e-filing, electronic filing. And guys, we're getting ripped off. I mean, it's a ripoff for me to pay half of my salary to the government to cover part of the cost of some of these programs. But it's an even bigger ripoff that people are getting money diverted to them through the government that doesn't rightfully belong to them through fraudulent returns. We're talking about billions of dollars. And yet the government can't be bothered with these things. The Internal Revenue Service can't be bothered with trying to close the gap of fraud and corruption that occurs every tax season. No, they're too busy chasing after donors to political campaigns and 501c4 organizations. They're too busy playing politics. And after all, it's not their money. It's your money. It's my money. And, you know, if you're spending somebody else's money, what's a few billion between friends, right? It's not a big deal. It's just a couple of bucks. In the grand scheme of things, it's small potatoes. This ought to be making every American absolutely furious, regardless of what your political affiliations are or what you might believe them to be. It should make you angry that your government, in your name, is wasting billions of dollars to fraud. And look at the outrage, the cry and the hue. There is none. There's none. And I don't care if you see yourself as a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, a liberal, a libertarian, a progressive, a socialist party, a communist. I don't care what your political ideology is. If you see that your government, members of your government, senators, sitting senators and congressmen are calling to use the government, government agencies like the IRS to persecute specific individuals or types or groups of individuals, that should make you very angry. Not only is it illegal, it's just plain wrong. There's nothing right about that. At some point, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a consensus. And it's really, to me, quite simple. If you strip away all the political parties, all the nonsense, just stop for a moment. And let's look at things pragmatically. Let's look at things with some common sense and logic. We know that government is created by people. A group of people get together and they say, hey, you know, this is kind of crazy. Things are getting a little chaotic, a little anarchy going on. We need some government here. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, yeah, some government is necessary, right? So let's form a committee. Let's get some people together. Let's vote on this. Everybody vote. And we're going to form a government. That's how governments are formed. And it's pretty obvious, but sometimes, you know, it still has to be stated, even though it ought to be painfully obvious. Governments are created by people. And government is comprised of people. Human beings, workers, people who work in government. So you hear people say, you know, I work for the government. No, no, no. That's wrong. Granted, that's the way it is today. You don't work for the government. You work in government for the people. That's the way it's supposed to work, see? And here's the rub, the common sense obvious thing. If I, as an individual human being, don't have the authority to do something to you, then I can't grant that authority to government. I cannot justify coming to your home and demanding that you give me $1. I can't justify demanding that you give me one penny. Now, the moment I claim to have authority because I'm government, now I'm claiming that I have the right to use force to take from you what I don't have the right to do, and that's take from you. If I can coerce you, if I can frighten you, if I can, if you will, terrorize you into giving up that money, well, then it's all okay because, after all, it's the law, right? Guys, we've got to get our act together. But unfortunately, there is a vast group of people out there that believe they're entitled to what belongs to you. That's what we've got to change. That's what has to be altered. And now I'm going to pick up my good friend from his newly relocated domicile down in the great state of Texas, Mr. Mikey B. from the hot,
seat left.
Mike, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Ron. How are you?
Well,
and
you know,
it's never right, by the way. So you didn't finish it, but that's okay. We know who we are.
Yes,
it doesn't matter.
I'm just really pissed, Mike. But you know,
I understand, and I want to touch on a few points. First, I think that it will be a happy ending, and I say that because it'll be happy that it ended.
Yeah, well, because, this is true.
now, the road to it will be very ugly, and I get that, but it has to end, and I look forward to the ending.
You know, there are days that I do as well, and I hate to admit that, but my fear is that the cure may be worse than the disease. I don't know.
No. Because it has to dissolve. And, Ron, quite honestly, we've brought this on ourselves.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no question.
We've accepted
yes.
the system.
Absolutely.
We've embraced. Now,
oh my God.
In this room, we now get it
yeah.
that the system is garbage. And as I like this, and I did not pick this up from Alex Jones because I only started really listening to him about maybe 6 months ago, and I've been saying this longer than that on my own because I love the movie The Matrix, and I get it. You know, we've pulled out of The Matrix in the sense that mentally, we're on the outside now looking in. And we know that it's dirty, to say the least. So we know that. Yet, we're still going to be victims of this thing. And I get it. Now, so that being said, I think it's going to be happy when it ends. Now, you talk about, you know, the IRS and, you know, how come they're busy politicizing. How come they're not working on narrowing the gap of corruption? Well, Ron, quite frankly, why should they? Who's asking them to do it? I mean, I must have missed it because all I've seen is I've seen Occupy Wall Street, you know, the evil corporations, blah, 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 1% holding everything. All I've seen is gay rights protests. I want my rights. I want my rights. I want my marriage to the same sex. Recognized so I can get the tax benefits. I've seen the Duck Dynasty protest. I've seen the, I can't visit the military monuments protest. But I'm sorry, I must have missed the IRS sucks and they're stealing my labor, the fruits of my labor from me. I must have missed that protest. Can you tell me the date of that protest? Because I missed it.
I'll have to go back and look, Mike, but there actually was one, and I believe it was 2007.
Okay,
2007
well,
or 2008, wait, well, the Tea Party
well,
taxed
one.
Enough already, right? But it just kind of fizzled.
And
the thing is, you know, hey, folks were there in D.C. protesting. They were tired of working on the plantation and getting scraps off of the master's table. And
see,
then, well,
this?
You know, the weekend was over, and they had to go back to work.
Yeah, well, but how about this? You want a real protest? How about you don't file anything? I mean, that's the real protest. I mean, we could stand there in front of the Lincoln Monument and bitch.
Right. No, I.
And then we go back, and what do? We accept. So by accepting and complying, don't we deserve the fallout?
Mike, I can't fault you there. And you know how I feel about this, and it makes me very angry because I have taken steps to protest mm-hmm. it. I have done, you know,
and
not everything I could
very
do. I can, you know, I'm at the point where I feel as though I'm trapped and there's not a damn thing I can do other than walk away. And if I walk away, I've got to walk away from not only the system, which I don't mind, but it would also mean that I'd have to walk away from my family. And that's a bridge too far for me. I can't do it.
Family comes first. I mean, this is all bullshit anyway. Excuse, you know.
We've had that.
You know, it's all a mirage anyway. I mean, we're going to die and all our stuff, someone's going to get anyway. And they're probably not going to value it as you would because, well, you worked for your stuff, and now they're getting it as a gift. And as we know, you know, that you parent teenage, right? You give them a new car, they wrap it around a tree. Why? Well, they didn't work for it. What do they care? So, you know, we're all going to hand off this stuff anyway, so it really doesn't matter. So, but for me, you know, I'm still reading Crack in the Code, and I think I know what he did and how he gets his money back. He files 1040s of something of that degree, and, well, quite frankly, I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm going to fight and fight and fight, and you know, and my deal is, with my show, Ron, I'm not trying to save the world anymore because it's unsavable. I'm trying to inform.
Right.
Because
no,
I think
I
at
get
this
it.
Point, that's all we can do is inform. Because, look, too many people are happy getting effed.
Sure.
Too many people love being the victim.
They love being a slave. There's no
yes.
doubt. There's
yes.
just no doubt. And what he does, you're right, I mean, it is filing a 1040 form. There's also a form 4835, I believe it is. You'll see when you get further along in the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing is, and even then, and there are those people, I'm not one of them, there are those people that go through and they file everything and it's no fuss, no muss. Poof, here's your return. Thank you very much. Have a nice life. Of course, not me. They write me nasty letters. You know, I got 3 file cabinet drawers full of letters. And at some point, you know, because for me, it's not about the money. It's the principle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sure. And at some point, I say, you know what? Keep it. I don't give a shit. If you want everything I have, come take it all. That would be the biggest favor ever. Oh, you think I'm kidding, dude? I'm telling you right now, if they would descend on my home and just lock me out of the house and take everything I have except for the shirt on my back, hell, take that too. Be the best damn thing ever happened.
Huh? Now, can you explain why and how would you move on from that day?
I don't know. I don't know how I would move on. But I can tell you that I have within myself the ability to provide for myself and my wife. I still have the dexterity of my hands and my mind, and I'm still able to labor. Now, 10 years from now, the ability might be severely diminished. I'm just tired. I'm tired of playing the game.
Well,
and I know it's a game.
Well, my feeling is this. You know, if you give up, then why shouldn't we all give up? See, we need more people.
No, I get that.
What you're doing. And I look at it this way. I have to give up 40 hours a week plus transportation of my time, and my time, especially now, that like I'm deliriously happy, okay? So my time is now even more valuable, but I have to give up 40-plus hours a week because I'm in the system where I need this barter called dollars, fake dollars, so I can eat and have a roof over my head. And welfare is not an option because welfare, Ron, is not going to give me this gorgeous apartment in the part of Dallas that I'm in. And it's not going to give me the freedom on my days off to do anything I want. If I want Cajun food or like today, my girl and I went and had some sushi, I can do these things. But like you mentioned earlier in the show, I have to give up nearly 40% or whatever it's going to be. I don't even got to get my first paycheck yet. 40% or 35 either way. And I have to have it stolen from me, like you said, to give to someone else. Well, I have a problem with that. And no, I fought the IRS on another matter. I fought for 2 years, and I eventually won. Because my time is valuable. And now I have to lose close to 50 hours a week and then 40% of the fruits of my labor? No, that's unacceptable.
I agree. And, I wish
and
more people
and it needs to be unacceptable. Well, that's why, Ron, we need you to continue. I need to continue. people like Alex Jones had better start doing it, because my problem with him is that he talks a great game, but then he says right on the show, well, you know, I have to keep complying so I can keep my show going, so I can enlighten people. Well, we still need leaders. That's just the way it is. All right? We need leaders to take us into the breach. That's just the way it is.
I
mean, Jesus was the leader. Moses was the leader. We need one.
And I want to take a moment.
Sure.
I've got another caller.
I don't want to hog everything. Sorry.
Oh, no. You're fine, man. We got another caller, area code 407. Who we got?
My name is Nathan from Orlando, and I was sitting here. I want to say enjoying your conversation, but I'm just as miserable as you guys are.
I'm not miserable, sir, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, you're showing a lot of frustration, and I think I know what the problem is. The problem with where we're at is the Republicans are better politicians than the people. If you look back at the 2009 People Rise Up in the Tea Party, and I know here in Orlando, this lady on the way to work calls a talk show, and she's screaming mad, and she goes, oh, I just wish I could do something, and she hangs up, and the next guy calls in and says, hey, tell that lady if she wants to have a rally, I work in this business, and I can provide the sound system and the staging, and then somebody else calls in, and we got this spontaneous rally. But one thing happened. This happened all across the country. But what happened was we got frustrated with the politicians, not the Democrats, both parties, but the Republican Party saw this group has got a vacuum of leadership because there's no one person leading it or a group of people. So when all these parties started getting announced all across the country, here comes these buses, all of them founded by the Republican Party consultants. They all have professional media, professional entertainment, and they're running around touring this thing. And here in Orlando, one of the things they said, the leaders that started this said, there will not be one politician get to stand on the stage. They'll be invited to come and listen in the audience, but we want them to hear from us. You know what? They had their first Tea Party, and these common people got up their butt because talk radio was out there getting their little media blitz out of it. The next Tea Party had all these politicians standing on the stage, and now if you look through all these conservative, quote, conservative activist groups that have risen up, the average one of them out here is founded by a political activist out of the GOP. The funding is coming from people like the Romneys and the Koch brothers and some of these other well-to-do.
You bet.
And this is the thing, and this is why I will not have anything to do with a Tea Party, local or anything, because they've hijacked it, and that has because the Republican Party's fingerprints on it. Barack Obama and the Democrats refuse to be intimidated by it. And what has to happen? This is what has to happen. People got to realize that we have a democracy. We have a democracy because the two parties. It's about numbers. We got to get more numbers than them, and they take turns getting more numbers, and then. To get the more numbers, more numbers got to show up. So it all ends up being a democracy and not a constitutional rule. The Republicans right now are doing everything they can to win the next election, all because they're going to do it not on anything they have to offer, but because of what Barack Obama and the Democrats have screwed up. That's the only thing they can run on. The same thing they're doing is what won it for Obama. Obama ran on Bush's record. Now the Republicans are running not on their record, but on Obama's record, on Obama's health care.
Yeah,
okay?
and it's the same old game over and over, year in and year out. I'm here to tell you that the people that honestly believe that this can be resolved at the ballot box are fooling themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm going to when you talk about democracy, that is the last damn thing on the face of this planet that I want to see. And I'll tell you why. Because when we talk about numbers, you have 330 million Americans, roughly. We have a workforce of around 116 million. Of that 116 million workforce, 51% pay nothing into the system at all. So there's your democracy, there's your democratic numbers, okay? You've got a and if you take out of that, and I've done a show on this actually, when we talk about taxpayers, what we need to focus on is net taxpayers, okay? And when I say net taxpayers, what I mean is that if you work for government and your paycheck is derived from government, whether it's policemen, firemen, military, you work at some government job, you're out of the equation as a net taxpayer because all of your paycheck is derived from taxation to begin with. So you are not a net taxpayer. You are out of the picture. When you remove those people from the 49% that are actually working, you start to get a better picture that 23% of this country is paying for the rest, okay? And that is not something that you're going to overcome at the ballot box. Guys, it's a pipe dream. You're right that the Tea Party was co-opted when it first began. It was a grassroots movement that started with Ron Paul and a Tea Party money bomb. That's where that started, your Tea Party started. Now, I went to the first Tea Party rally that they had in Atlanta, Georgia. And when we walked up there, the state patrol had the whole thing cordoned off. We had to walk around the Capitol and go two blocks down to go across one block. To cross the street, we had to traverse four blocks, literally, to walk across the street. One of the guys that was with us had a bullhorn. As we walked by, one of the state patrol officers hollered at him, said, "Hey, come here. You turn that thing on, you're going to jail." And I looked at him and I said, "Why? Under what charges? Disturbing the peace." I looked around and I said, "Are you kidding me? You've got a full stage with a bank of big screen TVs, Sean Hannity broadcasting live. You've got a crowd of 45,000 people, and you're going to say that this guy is disturbing the peace? Screw you guys. Okay? Yeah. Screw you. Go do your damn job. We've got a right to assemble."
I'm going to hang up, but let me share with you what I've done. I was a Republican from 1979 to 2004. Before the 2004 primary season, I switched to independent. I voted only for citizen candidates that had no political background. I didn't get anything I questioned or I voted for. I sat the 2008 completely out because while everybody was celebrating Sarah Palin, I looked at her record that talk radio and the Republican Party will not talk about. And I set the whole entire 08 out. And every election since then, I have only voted for citizen candidates. And the questions I keep asking people is, show me in the Constitution anything that signifies in any way or denotes anything related to groups or teams. It's not. It's members. There is no political parties. There is no electoral college in the Constitution. There is only electors. And you got to answer the question, why is it that the electoral college, as we know it, serves only the two major parties and all these probably hundreds of parties that exist aren't served by the electoral vote? And if you read...
You're absolutely right.
I will vote only for a citizen candidate. And we had in the 2010, we had 23 people running for Senate in Florida here, and all we heard about was Marco Rubio, Meeks, and Chris. And we had in that 23, we had a constitutional scholar who had five figures in an account on his website saying, "Anybody that can prove me wrong, I will give them this money and drop out." This man couldn't get into a newspaper on talk radio or the left media. Nobody. When you walked in the poll, they did not have a primary debate for the Senate candidates, okay, for the Republicans. There was two Republicans, a general, a colonel, retired colonel from the Air Force who had the military in mind, and we had a doctor that was running under Republican. They were citizen candidates. There was no, there was a congressional, but there was no Senate primary debate. And when you walked in the poll, you seen Marco Rubio in these two names, and Marco Rubio won with 84%. So they're saying he's the underdog that came up, and because he was a fighter,
right.
That was election fraud. And but I will never ever vote for a politician or anybody a politician would vote endorse. And that
well,
is what I'm doing, and I keep asking that question of people.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you something, because, you know, you hit on a few things here, and I've talked about this on previous shows. But so how do you think we change that? How, what can we do as the American people? And I'm not talking about just one or two of us,
well, this,
but
well,
I think there's a lot of people that
there's a lot. There's a lot. But this is what I did. I know a talk show host who sends out his list. I get his email. He's a top big talk show host. He sends out a list of 34 Republicans who are for amnesty. I look at this and I ask him, why did you pick only these 34? Why is it you won't pick these other people who are for amnesty, but you won't talk about them because you're favorite? That's the problem. We all have our favorite politicians we don't want voted out, but nobody can give me a list of who this establishment is supposed to be. This is what I do. Well, I'll give you a good example. And people hated me for this in the last election. And I told one talk show host, I will bet you we'll put it in legal writing, have lawyers make up this contract, and I'll put it in writing that if I am wrong, I will sign my 401K to roll over into your retirement account, and if I'm right, you sign yours over. And he sent me back and said, I don't want to take you up on this. I told him I can prove to you that Mitt Romney is, well, Barack Obama is more conservative than Mitt Romney. And whenever I started listing out his stuff, he didn't want to do it. And the same with Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin has all of the liberal. She's pro life personally, but she's got pro abortion policy, pro abortion funding. She signed. She appointed a Planned Parenthood, and I'm not debating the issues. I'm debating the consistency of her policy. She appointed a Planned Parenthood lawyer and board member to the Supreme Court in Alaska while there was another candidate there that was truly pro-life, okay? She is John McCain in a skirt. She's got you can find this online. She's got an endorsement letter to the UN to the Congress of the UNC treaty. That's what I'm telling people, and they don't want to hear their favorite celebrity in the Republican Party. You got to look at their records and not their message. That's what I'm reminding people.
You know that.
And I may lose, but listen, I'm willing. Whenever I find something on somebody, I'm willing to bet my very life and my wealth on it. Everything I've lived for my whole life. And you know why I'm willing to bet it? Because what do I have from this point looking forward? I'm losing it. I'm losing it all. I'm losing it all. I'm losing my freedom. I'm losing my wealth. I'm losing everything. We're swirling around a drain while the Republicans got us sitting on the bus with the chairs turned around looking back at history and telling us this is the future as we're getting further and further away from it. And this is what I'm saying. We got to get one thing that we have not had, and that's resolve. But whenever someone tells you something you don't like to hear, go research it and find out if it's wrong. Find out if it's true. That's all I'm doing, and I will lose. I will lose right up to the very end. But there's no need in saying I believe in something, and don't put my heart into it. We got to get resolved, or it's over.
Yeah, well, and see, that's what I've been talking about, and you know, I agree. I understand what you're trying to accomplish, and I applaud you for at least recognizing it and trying to do something about it. But you know, I get pissed. I get really pissed because I've been fighting this for a long time. I recognized way back in, you know, 2003 that things were really screwed up. And I saw a guy who came along who really put together some things that tried to get some accomplishments, and his name is Bob Schultz. And he put together a constitutional Congress where he actually had people from every state in the United States, and they got together and they had votes. And I mean, they called a constitutional convention. We had representatives from every single state. But you know, I'm sitting there watching all these Tea Party people as they start getting their legs under him. And I'm thinking, this is perfect. We need to get these groups together because I think he had the right idea.
Well,
and these people are clueless. These people are clueless.
Can I share with you what the mistake of the Tea Party was?
They don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, no, when the Tea Party, when the people rose up, this is what the mindset was. You got a person sitting there wondering if their child is going to go to college, wondering if they're going to have retirement. They just lost their job. Their car got towed away at 3 in the morning, and they're sitting there looking, and they said, I'm tired of this, and I'm not going to take it anymore. But the problem is that, like they said, the sleeping giant woke up, but when the sleeping giant woke up, he was uneducated. And the Republican Party was
exactly. Sitting
right there by the bed teaching them. Now we got this thing Rush Limbaugh got started saying, low-information voters, and you feel like you're smart because all you've learned is Republican process of politics.
Yeah,
so
it's all a smokescreen. It's all a bunch of crap.
This is what I keep telling people. I talked to a lady tonight that I heard in an interview, and she asked me to put some of my thoughts down. I told her some stuff in our American experience, and I said, you can't show me that in the Constitution. You can't show it to me. Like this guy I listened to that teaches the Constitution, he's talking about in history back whenever only landowners could vote, and he says, you know, the reason is basically the American people are stupid, you know? And I said, wait a minute. There is nothing in the Constitution that says only landowners can vote. There's nothing in there that says stupid people can't vote. So what you're doing is you're exalting yourself above we're teaching people, we're learning the American experience, not the experience the Constitution would produce. And this is what I've noticed. If you'll listen to these people, you can ask someone, what does this amendment mean? They'll read it and then bounce back to a debate or to something somebody said or to conditions or a lawsuit. You know what? They're looking at our experience. They're not reading what the words in the Constitution says.
When the Constitution was ratified, okay, there was nothing in the Constitution that put forth a right to vote. There was no constitutionally guaranteed right to vote in a national election, period. Never happened. That was a state thing, had nothing to do with the federal Constitution. Period. So, of course, it didn't mention it because it wasn't even a consideration. Many states had on their books laws that if you didn't own 5 acres or more, you didn't have a right to vote. You know, rightly or wrongly, I understand where that misconception comes from. But when I'm talking about the Tea Party, I know Jenny Beth Martin personally. She was a customer at my shop. And I tried to have conversation with this woman about the problem with the Republican Party, the problem with Republican politics, and the fact that, you know, these Tea Party people seem to believe the lie that there was this big chasm, this big separation between the Democrats and Republicans, when in fact, the only thing separating the vast majority of these people is the letter next to their name. They have no morals, they have no scruples, they have no anything except for a drive to stay in office and keep sucking money off of the human resources known as the people of America. And until the people of America find the resolve to stand up like Rosa Parks and give them the middle finger and say, you know what, I'm not sitting at the back of the bus anymore. You can kiss my ass. I'm not doing it. You keep your taxes. You keep all your crap. I'm not paying you no more. I'm drawing the line right here, and I'm not moving another inch.
Okay, now, on the thing with Jenny Beth Martin, the Tea Party Patriots, when it was formed, listen, you got to look at who is there at the ground. It's a Republican, long-term Republican activist who's working.
I know who Dick Armey is. I know who these people are.
And
I know
then,
it was
listen
co-op.
To this, to prove a point that it's Republican, we had this girl, Amy Kramer, that was right there among them. She was a part of the ground roots, grassroots, and one of the things her job was is she was supposed to do the finances. She established the PayPal account. When the money starts coming in, she thought this was her money and went shopping. Well, they had a little fallout, okay, and then all of a sudden they take her to court, And on the second court, I got both court cases. I got a copy of it in my computer. I can send it to you. But listen, whenever they kicked her out, you know, you would think that would make a big scandal. But no, she gets slid over to Tea Party Express, which the founder, Sal Russo's in California, and she's called the co-founder of Tea Party Express. They're not neighbors. They live in two different states.
Right.
But what the Republicans did is they salvaged this drama so that they could keep her in it. And again, it goes back to all these Republican Tea Parties have professional politicians and consultants, professional media, professional entertainment,
right, and
one
big
citizen figurehead.
And people are surprised that politicians are opportunists and that these naive little sheep that run off waving their flag, taxed enough already, but they don't have the resolve, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have any wisdom, they don't have their eyes open. All they know is they're tired of paying taxes for somebody else. Well, you know, it's real simple. I don't need to divide it into left and right. I don't give a damn about either party, and it's time the American people stand up on their own two legs and fight for what's right. For
Amen.
Everybody, whether it's...
You keep doing
what
you're doing. I'm going to hang up and keep listening, but you keep doing what you're doing, and you know what? It might be till it's late or almost late that whenever people will say, wow, this guy's making sense, and you'll start getting an audience then. They'll start listening to you because it takes a while. Sometimes we got to learn to duck after we got a knot on our head. You keep doing what you're doing, man. Even if you disagree with me, man, I thank you for listening to me.
It's all right, man. I appreciate you calling in.
God bless, man. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too. All right, everybody, we got about 3 minutes left. And, you know, it's not that I disagree with the caller necessarily. I think we're kind of on the same page, but I just, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and the idea that we're going to get anywhere by playing, you know, the left-right paradigm thing, guys, we got to get over that. What we have to recognize is that your government, what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, your government is not a representative government. They do not represent you. They represent the moneyed interests that want to keep you under their control. They want to control every aspect of your life. They want to tax the very carbon dioxide that you exhale. And it doesn't matter what political party they say they align themselves with, folks, they intend to be your master, and they intend for you to be their slave, their servant. That's what they want. That's what they're accomplishing. They've been accomplishing it for decades, and they have nearly drawn the net completely closed, and you are trapped in there, and you'd better wake up and recognize the fact that it doesn't matter who they say they are, who they claim to be. They want to control you. They aim to rule you. And if you do not go along, they will end you. They will take your life from you. Whatever shred of life that you're clinging to this moment, whatever retirement account you think you might have remaining, they control it. They own the money. They control the money. They control and they own you. It's time for the American people to wake up, stand up, give them the middle finger, and tell them, keep your damn money. I'm not paying you no more. I'm not working for you no more. I'm done. That's what it's going to take. But I don't think it'll happen. What I think is going to happen is the whole damn thing is going to come crashing down. And the American people, by and large, are not going to rise up to do any damn thing until they're pushed into a corner with a gun at their head, and then they'll fight back. And that's when it's too late. And I think it's too damn late already. Guys, appreciate you tuning in and listening to me. Carry on. Glad we had a couple of callers. Bill, Doc, our guest, Miss Linda, Mike. God bless you guys. Thanks for keeping on keeping up the fight. And, you know, I know we don't all agree all the time. It doesn't matter. We're still going to fight this thing right to the bitter end. And, you know, if they take everything I own, including my life, I haven't lost much. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Back here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Hoot and Holler. Wednesday night, right here, 7 o'clock, right from the left coast. Thursday night, 6 p.m., right here, Patriot Education. Guys, God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye.